Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen Megabinawo, and welcome to episode 46 of the Process Breakdown podcast. In this interview, my guest describes how she went from running a solo operation to hiring detailed-oriented people to manage the operation and the marketing of her tourism business. You will discover what steps she took to find employees in the first place and how she implemented a ticketing and inventory management system. You will discover how she's able to use a daily morning checklist to make sure her business is on track and how she's been able to transform and systematize her entire business so it runs without her successfully. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. Are you tired of being the bottleneck in your business? Do you want to get everything out of your head and document step by step how you get tasks done so your employees know what you know? Well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. And now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Georgette Blau, and she is the president of On Location Tours. Georgette, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's dive right in. What exactly does your company do, and what big pain do you solve for your customers?
Well, actually, we run On Location Tours, and we're the largest TV and movie tour company in the world. We mainly run bus tours. We have the Sex and the City tour, the Gossip Girl tour, the Sopranos tour, the New York TV and movie tour, the Boston TV and movie tour, the Gossip Girl tour, and the Turner Classic Movies tour, and the TMZ tour. We run two walking tours, the Central Park Movie Tour and the Boston Movie Mile. So we run in New York and Boston, and we really just solve that sort of escapism for people who want to see the locations in movies and TV shows want to kind of escape into that world.
Awesome, awesome. So basically you watch a show and you want to, you know, get to be part of the show by viewing the locations and all that. Your company allows that for the fans. I like that. So how many full-time employees do you have? Just curious.
I have 8 full-time employees.
And just because my listeners always want to know the scale of the business, you know, what would you say was last year's revenue and probably what you're probably expecting to do this year?
It's over $1 million.
Awesome. And so this whole interview is all about showing the transformation of your business from how, you know, you were able to take it from you being the one responsible for handling everything, basically being the bottleneck, to the point where it is now where the business runs without you. So first of all, what would you say back then was the lowest point in the business? And let's describe how bad it got.
Right. And, you know, I'm just going to tell them I'm doing a Skype interview because it's a little bit loud in the background. I apologize. Sorry, I'm doing a Skype interview that's being recorded.
No problem. And listeners can see it's live. We are going with the interview like that.
Okay.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, so basically, I mean, the most difficult part and the most challenging was wearing so many hats. And because I wasn't hiring someone to help me with a lot of things, I was actually not having enough time to develop the business. It wasn't until a few years ago that I really started hiring people and beefing things up in order to develop the company further. And I can go into a little bit more in detail in a minute about what I gave away first, what I gave away second and third. But at the beginning, I was answering the phones. I was doing the bookkeeping. I was doing the tour guiding. And a lot of the same rote sort of, I hate to say tedious tasks, but a lot of the things where I wasn't able to focus on writing the scripts for the buses, hiring tour guides, doing bus routes, and really majorly, I had no time to market it. So ironically, I wasn't getting as many people on the tours because I just didn't have time to reach out.
I understand. Do you remember back then a specific situation or even a story of when you just probably reached your breaking point where you realized, man, you had to change the way things were going?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I would say really one example was February of 2004. We were on the last episode of Sex and the City. And at that point, you know, because we were mentioned, we were turning away at least 300 people a week. Wow. On the tours. So it was, unbelievable. You know, we just didn't have enough tour guides. I said, this is really, really crazy, you know, to turn away this kind of business. And in the meantime, I was tour guiding. I didn't have time to hire the tour guide. So that was definitely one of my breaking points. And in March of 2005, for 2 weeks straight, I shut my office door and I hired approximately 5 new tour guides. And that just helped alleviate, you know, and at that point I didn't have to tour guide anymore. So that pulled a huge amount of time off my shoulders, and I hired these great tour guides that did a better job than I could.
Awesome. So let's dive right in deep to that to see, you know, so what would you say was the very first, or the very, very next thing you did, to solve the problem you mentioned earlier?
Sure. And then actually, and this is something that I really recommend to a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, is if you can afford somebody, hire an intern, pay them a stipend, you know, something, whatever you can afford. But even if it's just to hire them and they use it for college credit or the experience, they're able to have the experience in an office, have the experience in a business. And on the flip side, you're able to give a lot of the tasks and try to make them educational, but it really takes a lot off your shoulders, you know, and there's even, you know, even if half of them are more administrative tasks and half of them are learning tasks, at least you're able to, like, you know, lift off a lot off your shoulder. Because I think a lot of people go in and say, well, I don't have money to hire a full-time person right at the beginning.
Yeah. So the first thing you did was hired an intern. And I'm curious, you know, do you have any idea, can you share with the listeners how you found the interns, and also maybe how you determined the first set of things to delegate to the intern?
Yeah, actually, you know, I definitely had enough things at the beginning, really a lot of things that I was doing. So, for example, the intern was answering some of the calls, putting some of the reservations in, finding some of the locations, like pinpointing them on maps, doing some of the research, going to some of the venues to see if they could work with us and be stops on the tours. They were you know, researching the behind the scenes on the tours, doing online research to find groups to reach out to, doing online research to see websites we could be on. So there was just a lot that I was working on that I was kind of, you know, working with the intern and handing off some of it. And, you know, some of the research would take me hours. So it would really, that was a big thing that helped.
Yeah. So basically what I'm getting from that is you looked at what was the biggest bottleneck of your time and said, okay, let me start with that. And at that point, it seemed that a lot of the research was the starting point. So you started with that. And so during the pre-interview, you also mentioned, you know, after, you know, getting familiar with the interns and starting to delegate some of the bottleneck tasks to them, the next thing you did was hiring an operations person and then a marketing person second. Let's talk about the decision behind that. Why did you hire an operations person first and then marketing person second? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it was, it's really, operations was the easiest thing for me to, give away first. Cause that was the one that was like burning the fires, you know, and something that was the easiest to hand off in the sense that, you know, and I should go back a step and say, I really handed off the first thing to, at the same time to an intern and to tour guides, cause tour guides doing the tours was an easy thing to hand off.
Okay.
And then,
and I can see that too, because you were mentioning earlier that, you know, that one of the breaking points was having those many people reaching out for you guys to do tours and you couldn't deliver to them. So you had the issues of, research.
Exactly.
Bothering you as well as the tour. I can see that. Okay.
Yeah, and that was like, wait a second, this is money that's going out the window here, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so basically I, you know, the next thing was, the big thing for me was hiring that was my first full-time person, was a, you know, an operations person. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was kind of easy because if there were systems, the systems were already in place, or systems that they had to put into place. But they did things like hiring tour guides or at least screening them. I would always meet them second. They would schedule the tour guides, you know, schedule the buses, deal with customer service issues and things like that. And you know, when I decided next to hand off the marketing, that was something that was, first of all, that I loved, so that was hard for me to hand off. But also, it was something that the marketing was much more difficult because marketing is not streamlined. It's like, oh my gosh, you can go 100 ways with it.
Yeah.
So it was something that wasn't easy to kind of train. You know, with operations, I trained somebody in a few weeks, and it was like, here you go, mm-hmm. please handle this. You know, take it from here.
And I can see that because, you know, what we've discovered so far is like, you know, you've been the CEO, you have all this, you know, vision of where you want to take the business, the grand vision and all that. And then I can see the importance in where you now decide you want to get an operations person so that that person can literally turn those visions you have into detailed step-by-step of how it's actually done and, you know, rally the team around actually achieving that. Is that kind of what you were thinking when you wanted to go after the operations person first? I'm just curious.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch the very last what you were saying.
Oh, no, I was just saying, was the main thing basically getting the operations person so that they can, you know, turn your vision and all the things that you had planned into reality by, you know, carrying out the details behind it?
Yes, and in fact, it was very important to get a detail-oriented, organized person to begin with. Because, you know, this is something operations has to be like right on the money, very organized. And
yeah.
They were really good about not only carrying out the vision to know the quality of the tours, but, you know, then also I would say like marketing was my real step of somebody who was carrying out the vision. But, you know, anybody who I've hired over the years, definitely they have to understand the vision of the company and be passionate about it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the marketing side because you said you were a little bit hesitant on delegating this one because not only do you like it, but like there are so many different ways you could go without go on the marketing route. So I'm just curious. So walk us through how you did it when you came to hiring the marketing person. First of all, maybe what was the issue you were trying to have the marketing person handle or take over from you, and then how did you guide them into actually you know delivering on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. With the operations person, it was more putting out fires, you know, immediate fires. But with marketing, it was more like going after opportunities that were going to pass us, or it was like there were so many opportunities that we had, you know, I didn't have the time to go after or build the relationships, and so that was why, you know, the marketing person was able to go after my big list. You know, I had a huge list when the marketing person came in of different potential opportunities.
Oh, okay. So when they came in, you had a huge list of, you know, marketing ideas you wanted to achieve. So, you know, walk us through it. So just give us a couple of things that you had them do when they came in. I'm just curious.
Yeah. You know, it was, oh my goodness. Well, at the time, funny enough, this was in 2005. So, I'm kind of laughing because this was, you know, helping to build our website. We already had a website, but it was very simple. So developing that further, dealing with the locations that we're passing, you know, a lot of them started paying us advertising, putting together a tour book that was handed to all the customers, a lot of press outreach.
Yeah.
So that was about half the job was reaching out to press. There were so many press opportunities I had missed because I just didn't have the time. A lot of cross promotional opportunities, printing, you know, dealing with printing rack cards and brochures for the hotels, meeting with some concierges and meeting with the other attractions in New York because we kind of like traded ideas.
Okay. I see how, you know, the list of things that you actually had that person do. And you mentioned earlier how when you were looking for the operations person, the person had to, based on the nature of the job, they had to be detail-oriented. But in terms of the marketing, just for the listener who's listening to this, what was the key criteria that you used in selecting the person in terms of the key character trait the person has to have?
It's funny. I would say creative, but I didn't want somebody who was too right-brained because I wanted somebody who would really follow up and, you know, so, you know, I ended up hiring somebody who was really great at multitasking, like able to deal with 20 different things at once and really following up on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very important.
Awesome. And so, now we also talked about how you now hired a tour guide, and you know. So let's talk about the process behind that, and probably you know how you went about selecting the right people to help you with the tours and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, the operations person helps me with that, but then the marketing person, you know, ends up communicating to the tour guides about ongoing things. But our tour guides are considered to be the best in New York and Boston. And that's really because I started focusing early on really having the best guides, because they said, we're movie tours. This is like a really creative type of tour, unique thing. So we need to have great tour guides, and they're really the best part of the experience. And, we only hire actors and actresses, and they only...
I'm curious, why did you choose to only hire actors and actresses
Guides? A lot because, well, and for three different reasons, I should say, which I should, you know, dig into deeper because it's interesting. One was because of schedule, because they had a flexible schedule.
Okay.
You know, and they were able to switch out with each other if they had an audition. So they were kind of on the same schedules with each other. The second was because the outgoing personalities.
Yeah.
And were very engaging people. And, you know, even if something happened with a bus or something, they were able to go with it.
They could improvise the nature of their job.
Exactly. That's exactly literally what they were doing. And then the third reason, probably the most obvious, was because they'd been on a lot of these sets. So even if they weren't on these particular sets that they were doing the tours for, they were able to say, oh, hey, you know, I was on a similar set and the camera angles were very interesting and they were, you know, so it could give a lot of extra behind the scenes that in that way.
I'm glad how you shared, you shared the details behind that. And also, you know, so now we're talking about how the fact that your business actually has systems in place that lets it run without you. So what specific systems do you now have that enable the business to run without you for the most part? I think during the pre-interview, you mentioned the internal ticketing and inventory system.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Zurv is amazing. I mean, we've been with Zurv since 2001.
What is that? Zurv, is that Z-E-R-V? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And actually since 2003 is when they launched. And so for 11 years now, they are our internal ticketing system, and they're always adding features. But basically what it is half of our people use the system to book the tickets, and the other half that are through places like Expedia, they're actually just in the system – put into the system for so we can manage all of our inventory there. But we can also do things like if a person doesn't make a tour, we can turn their tickets into gift certificates. We can refund through the system. We can put in our own like direct press people or tour operators into the system. We can put in discount codes. And if somebody has a message in the system, like a buyer, we can tell the tour guide, you know, it's so-and-so's birthday or so-and-so's in a wheelchair or something like that. So it's our, everybody can log into the system, you know, and see what's there, which is great. And even if it's not Zurv, if it's a different type of business, I highly recommend something where everybody can log into, you know, just a great way of communicating.
Awesome. So I see how Zurv, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Zurv is helping in the standpoint of helping people, like the customers, to buy tickets, right, for the tours on the first part.
Yes, yeah. So exactly. So that's the first part of it. So we actually use the back end, but people, like a customer, will go in and, you know, and realize that as they're checking out, it's almost like a Ticketmaster that they're buying from.
And so how does it act as an inventory system? I guess that's on the back end. I'm curious.
Exactly. So we have all the tours listed and, you know, the customer will just see the purchase page. And then after they take a tour, they'll get a review request. But we actually are able to put in the tours by whatever time we want to put in. We have all the tours listed by number of seats. So as people are going in and buying seats, they're pulling from the inventory.
Okay. So you're listening to the availability of the bus and maybe the amount of seat spaces involved and also the routes and stuff like that. So that's kind of the inventory part of it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it's interfacing with the back end to see, okay, how many are available. And then, okay, I get that. And so you said Zurv helps you with that, both the ticketing and inventory. And you also mentioned that during the pre-interview that another thing you guys did is you always have a morning checklist that you go through. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Yep. We actually pretty recently, maybe in the last year or two, we created a morning binder where somebody has to initial you know, the person who handles it in the morning, and it's only one of three people who are handling it. Mm-hmm. And there's fields, it's basically like an Excel sheet of 10 or 12 fields, and they come in and they have to complete it. Basically it's completed within the first hour that they're here, but it only takes 15 minutes. But it's things like confirming the buses, confirming the tour guides, putting t-shirts into the bags going down to the tours for trivia prizes, things like that. And things like just simple, like the 2-minute call to the bus company has saved us, because sometimes the bus companies will screw up the time of the tour or something. And we are just able to, you know, it's amazing, like just know, okay, the bus is, you know, fix anything at that point. And it saved us, because in the past we would have, you know, not have a bus there, and all of a sudden we realized it's in New Jersey, an hour away. And so it's really saved us and saved, you know, a lot of customer service headaches. And then confirming the guides, I mean, about a year ago, year and a half ago, we had a situation where with a tour guide who, you know, screwed up the calendar, you know, didn't realize that they were on the calendar for that day.
Yeah.
So didn't show up to the tour. You know, so that's eliminated all of that. And this is, again, I can't even tell you, that process takes 2 minutes, and the entire process takes 15 minutes. So it's absolutely great. And it's, and, you know, and I'm able to pinpoint who's signing off on it.
So what I get from that is basically the entire experience that you want to deliver to the guest. And on one part, that also handles part of the checklist. And also the checklist also makes sure that the things that your staff, the different staff you have, all have to do in order to deliver that experience to the guests. You guys literally have them in a checklist so that as the person is checking as they're going, they're getting taking this action. And that literally makes sure that the experience is always predictable on the standpoint of the customer.
Yeah, it makes it – it takes away – literally 98% of the unpredictability, which is great. Because, like, in the past, it was like, oh, no, a bus didn't show up. Or, oh, no. You know, now it's like, it's pretty predicting, you know, that everything hopefully will go well. So
awesome. Yeah. And you also mentioned that you guys have weekly meetings and company weekly marketing and company meetings. How does this play a role from the standpoint of, you know, allowing the business to run on autopilot? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's just great. I mean, we've even recently not only set up the specific days and times for these company and marketing meetings, but we actually started bringing our own agendas. So that saved a lot of time. Instead of, you know, sitting around and kind of brainstorming for an hour, it's much more efficient. And really, in general, I mean, the meetings are efficient. They're going over a bunch of things at once. We're not taking time out of our day to send a million emails to each other. We're just kind of saving it up. So we're only emailing each other about things that are more important.
Yeah.
So it's great to save time. Great to just have that communication set. You know, and it's something that everybody can expect. We know we're going to have that meeting. We try to keep it to a half hour per meeting. And
yeah, I like that. So another thing too is, you know, this is a question my listeners, they like when I ask my guests is, you know, imagine your business kind of like a conveyor belt. Now, on one end is somebody who's a fan of a show who's probably considering, you know, getting more experience into, you know, getting more experience by, you know, checking out the locations for the show that they like. That's the person's on that end of the conveyor belt. And then that same person on the other end of this conveyor belt has, you know, is now a raving fan of your business and what you do because they've actually become a customer. But behind the scenes, there are, you know, people, systems, and processes all acting together behind the scenes. So I want you to kind of give the listener kind of like, you know, a behind the scene of what's going on to get that transformation to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's funny because
and feel free to start from the marketing all the way to production, all the way to, you know, them being raving customer. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, basically I would say if it's a direct sale, it's coming from either our traditional marketing or anybody on our marketing team, so either traditional marketing or our SEO digital marketing manager. So that's the direct sales. And in the same place on the conveyor belt is the salesperson. So the sales person is selling to outside companies that are then feeding people into us. Mm-hmm. And so you have those few people that are then pushing it to operations, which then pushes it to reservations. So the reservation will come in. And then after that, you basically have the customer. And then after the customer, sort of bookkeeping, because the customer isn't really the final stage, you know, you have the bookkeeping and some post-marketing, like we'll send out more review requests and things like that, and, you know, newsletters, you know, after the fact. Mm-hmm. And the customer, I would say, is on the same place as the tour guide.
Okay. Okay, I like that. I like how you you kind of give them a walkthrough of what's going on behind the scenes. So I'm curious, you know, creating systems and all that, you know, it's actually challenging. And I'm curious, you know, what challenges did you, you know, experience when you initially tried to create the systems that you have today? And, you know, how did you solve them?
Yeah, and do you need more, like, experience by experience, or
as deep as you're willing to go in terms of, you know, the different challenges specifically when it came to you being able to, you know, create systems and on what you did to, you know, kind of quell them?
Yeah, and I would say the first system I really put into place was it was about 4 years after the business, but was Zerve, the first successful system. You know, before that I had things in binders and
Imagine that.
Just in Excel sheets. Oh my God, it was embarrassing. But, you know, so that really saved me to have one central system. Mm-hmm. And then I could log into that system, you know, in Australia if I were in wherever I was traveling. And, you know, everything operationally was in that system. So, you know, everything like customer information and reservations and things like that. And, you know, that really, I mean, the other thing is, I would say for as far as the lowest point, in approximately 2006, I created a whole secret shopper program, you know, where we had, we have a few people a week who will get forms from us. And it's just a 2-page simple secret shopper mystery shopper form.
Yeah.
And they'll fill it out. You know, take a tour for free, fill it out. I then give the customer feedback to the tour guides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a little bit of paranoia that there might be a secret shopper on that tour helps a whole bunch. So, you know, there were also even on with great tour guides, we're able to just figure out a little bit better of like how to do things or what really worked in the tour and things like that. But the reason I came up with that system was is at our lowest point, you know, around 2006-ish, I had a number of tour guides who were just doing their own show, not following the route, you know, and we wanted to have better control of them.
Yeah.
You know, years before, one of the steps we did to kind of prevent that, but it didn't work enough, was to make them into employees instead of subcontractors. You know, almost every tour guide in New York is a subcontractor, but we wanted to make sure that we had control over them, you know, with the same, saying the same type of script almost, and, you know, improvising a little bit, being able to wear a uniform, going the same route. You know, we had these routes set up for a reason. Mm-hmm. And when they started skipping the locations, like they weren't doing their job. So to have an extra layer of protection, you know, we set up the secret shop.
Yeah. I like that
program.
And what was the challenge that you mentioned specifically that had to do with the operations employee, I'm adding inventory correctly? I'm curious.
Yes. In fact, I did have around that time another low point where I had an operations person who just, you know, I kept looking at the inventory. I couldn't develop the company further because I kept looking at inventory several times a day. I mean, we were turning down a couple hundred people a week, and it was mainly because we weren't adding enough inventory. And if you're at the point where you absolutely can't add anymore because you don't have enough tour guides, you really have to hire tour guides, and she was not telling me to even hire more tour guides.
Okay, so yeah, I get that. So basically, that the fact that inventory was not being added was kind of should have been looked upon from her as a trigger. Okay, this is now where we go and hire more
exactly.
people.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. If you come to me and say, "Well, I just can't add any more inventory," that I need, you know, a good reason to see why you're not posting for tour guides.
I get that. Mm-hmm. And also, you mentioned that another issue that you had was also that you kind of trust only yourself to come up with procedures and processes and systems for the business. And that's kind of a challenge. Talk about that.
Yeah, and I think I just really need to kind of, and this is something I'm working on, is to sit in one of the meetings and say to the employees, like, what, you know, what type of processes and procedures would help you in your job, and what do you think we should implement, or even if it would help each other. But also taking it a step further and saying, all right, I need help with this. Like, you need to help me. You can't just kind of throw out ideas. You need to help plan this together, because also if you're going to be the one to use this,
yeah,
you know, then you definitely need to help me with this. Recently, we had a meeting where we went over how to be more productive and work more efficiently. And we came up with several things that we needed to do. And I actually spread it out in the meeting and gave one thing to each person that they had to do. Like, one thing was calling the internet was slow, so we had to call and figure out what the issue was with that. So they were small tasks, but things that would, you know, help the entire company overall.
Yeah. And given that, you know, creating systems for your business, I mean, you've talked about all the challenges that you even faced initially. I'm curious, you know, how did you even stay committed to that new direction of trying to systematize your business initially, you know, given all the challenges?
To commit to be, you mean, consistent almost?
Yeah, to actually commit to actually doing the work to systematize your business. I'm just curious.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does take a lot of work because, you know, I'm a very creative right brain person. Mm-hmm. And for me to almost step into the left brain side and say, all right, this seems like some kind of rote thing that we're like robots, like coming in every day and doing the same thing. But unfortunately, that's the way the business world works. And it just helps you to systematize and makes your life easier and gives you more time to develop your company further. So, and, you know, a lot of times I have to say on a side note, I didn't even have time to build these systems. I'm like, oh, you know, I don't have the time. But once I got around to it, I realized this didn't take that long. And overall, in the period of a year, it saves like weeks and weeks of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, there were just some of the systems would just take a few hours to build. And it's amazing. Their impact is amazing.
Yeah, and you mentioned something just now where you said you tend to be more on the right brain, I guess more creative, but then realizing that in order to have the success in the business that you need, you also have to, you know, change the brain sometimes and be on the left brain. I wonder, how do you make that, how did you make the balance, and how do you manage that whole process?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things with me is that because I've been in this business for 15 years, by now I've kind of become an operations person, and I understand the operations procedure is almost like my own, you know, almost like I were left brain because it's so part of me.
Yeah.
You know, so I've had to step into that, and I've just had to take little things during my day to become more of a logical person. Like, one little thing, for example, is with my emails, like trying to only check emails during certain times of the day, unsubscribing to a lot of those things, you know, the newsletters and things you get, you know, the sales that you'll get 100 times a day. So, yeah, so that 1 minute of unsubscribing. So just teaching myself again that those few minutes in a day are going to save you a long time, and, you know, not multitasking, trying to stay on one thing at a time. And, you know, I'm trying to think of other things that have saved a lot of time. You know, making a list of not more than 10 things to do a day, you know, just to not show that Rome was built in a day, you know, because
it's a gradual process of ongoing improvement. That's what I'm getting from that. And also, you know, you've already kind of alluded to some of this next question, because you have talked about some of the systems you already have in place that enables the employees to know what to do. You talk about the weekly meeting, as well as how Zerv help with both ticketing and in management of inventory as well. And then I'm just curious, is there any other systems that we have not talked about right at this moment regarding the business?
No, I think I have some systems that are specifically for different employees, but not, you know, I mean, we could talk about that.
Yeah, we could talk about as many as you want to share. Go ahead.
Yes. No, and, you know, for the majority of my employees, especially ones that are handling marketing and sales, I do ask if I'm away to send me a pretty detailed report, daily report of what they're working on. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, sometimes I want to use that, you know, because I talk to a lot of my employees a lot more than I should.
Yeah.
So I always sometimes think, oh my goodness, you know, I really should have a daily report in general. In fact, my husband uses a start of day report of what people plan on working on during the day. I always do an end of day report. Mm-hmm. So I think both work well for different reasons. We have our weekly meeting. We have our one-on-one meetings with different employees, generally on Wednesday. So it's kind of the middle of the week. But, you know, having that daily report when I go away, everybody has that centralized Xerve that is able to track things, and everybody can log in and see what's going on. It's time-stamped. It's stamped by the person using it, so we know who wrote whatever in, even if they forget to write in who they are, you know, we know that. We have a phone schedule, so that there's no kind of complaining about, I was on the phone more than so-and-so. So that's been good. We try to be really fair with that. We're a small company, so, mm-hmm. We have things like boxes. We don't have anybody break them down, so we have different days of the week assigned to, who's going to break down the boxes on what days, and people really don't mind, and it's
boxes for what? I'm curious.
Oh, actually, that's funny. We get boxes in all day of t-shirts being shipped to us.
Oh, okay.
And, things like that. So tons of too many boxes.
Yeah.
And then the morning checklist items I mentioned before, mm-hmm. there are usually three people that come in and do that, but everybody knows by now, and we know the person that would be handling it for each.
And I'm curious, you have a lot of these tools that kind of help with communication back and forth. And, you mentioned some other systems that you have. And I'm curious, how do you document procedures and what tools are you using for that?
Yeah. Do you mean as far as employee manuals?
Yeah.
We have a big employee manual I put together about 7 years ago. That's always, we always add to it if there's something that we need to add to it. I'm actually just about to start doing, somebody recommended to me to do a monthly newsletter of sales. So it sounds funny because I see these people on a daily basis, but,
why is that important? I'm curious.
I think half the company is working on things like marketing, has no idea, how sales are going.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's sort of important to say we're at this point, but it's not as good as this particular year or that particular year, but things like that. And also just things it's hard to remember everything to communicate or what you have communicated to everybody. So that's one central place to put the press that we've had over the month and, big wins and challenges and things like that.
I get that. That way, everybody literally knows how, the progress of the business and how what they're doing, maybe not directly related, is actually helping the company achieve its goals.
Exactly. Yeah.
I get that. That's a good tip. And also, how do you track and verify the results being delivered by your employees?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have very different employees in the sense that one is handling traditional marketing, another handles SEO. A lot of the employees don't understand what the other's working on in a sense. So we have very little that's centralized, but each person, even down to operations and sales and, like I was saying before, marketing, very different position. Everybody has different goals. Mm-hmm. With operations, it's more to make things run smoothly, and that's bonus-based.
Yeah.
Whereas group sales and also my FIT individual salesperson, it's called FIT, will handle the groups and individual bookings. They get commission on top of their base. My SEO digital marketing manager, some of her goals, for example, are getting extra likes on Facebook, getting more traffic to our website or certain links to our website, number of retweets, how many extra TripAdvisor reviews, things like that. Our marketing assistant, he's pretty new, and he's actually new to the corporate world right out of college. So we try to give him 30, 60, and 90-day goals, not only of what he's working on, but that we try to tie them to improving his writing and his design skills.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I goals, believe it or not, are very, very new to me.
You mentioned during the pre-interview of how, like, in the past, for a number of years, you were actually bad at giving goals. And I'm just curious for you to share the story of how you even came about, you know, figuring out the best way now to actually give goals, which you call SMART goals, I think.
Yeah. So the SMART goal system is the 30, 60, 90 days. And the projects that are easier to do that take 30 days, some take 60 days, some take 90 days. So they have to be completed by the 30 or the 60 or the 90 days. I also, you know, tie them into skills. So improving, mm-hmm. like I was saying before, writing or design skills. Also having, for example, the goals in place where somebody can do 50 to 100% of the goals. So 50% is required, 100% you get extra money, that kind of thing. But, you know, goals to me are literally only a few months old. I never had a lot of, like, budgets in place, goals in place. So goals are something that this year I've worked really hard on. For somebody who's new, I have one-on-one meetings every day with that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, break it down a little bit more goals-wise, and then I have an overall long-term goals, you know, with those people as well, even if they're new. But it's just broken down to more the day, the month, the quarter, and the year.
And so now that the business literally runs without you, I'm just curious, what would you say you've been the longest time you've actually been away from your business?
Actually, 2.5 weeks when I got married and had my honeymoon. It was 2.5 weeks. So, yeah, I'm proud of that 2.5 weeks.
I'm definitely sure of that, because I'm imagining if you had gotten married a couple of years back before you systematized it, just so the listener will understand, how would it have been? Would you have been able to take that vacation to?
Oh, I would have been so, you know, worried of the business falling apart or my employees just sitting around. Or
So how would you say the business, the company has actually been transformed as a result of you systematizing the business?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, people are responsible for things. I know what to expect when I come in the morning, when I leave. Every employee knows what to expect. You know, there's more predictability about it, but it makes things kind of cleaner that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's better communication. There's better ownership.
Yeah. And also from a personal standpoint, how has your personal life been transformed as a result?
Yeah, I mean, I really much calmer now. You know, there's, again, the predictability helps. I'm able to also develop the business a little bit more, so I feel better in my personal life. And in a lot of the systems, like, I can log in from home, so I can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm in my personal life, I'm able to spend more time with my son. I have a 2.5-year-old son. I'm able to write more, because that's what I do on the side, is writing. And, you know, so that's been, you know, really, really great. So these systems have definitely saved my life in a way.
And with all this much free time that you have compared to back in the day, I'm curious, now, which areas of the business you spend more time and focusing on now, and why?
Definitely developing new tours. I spend a lot more time on marketing and on supervising people, where I used to hide in my office for hours a day to, like, kind of put out fires. And now, you know, if I'm hiding in my office, it's to create a new system, but that will save me many hours down the road. And I'm really able to focus much more on the development side of things, and also getting out and meeting people.
Awesome. And so what would you say is the very next step that someone, the listener who's been listening so far all the way to this point of the interview, what would you say is the next thing that they should do in order to at least get their business, you know, transformed so that it can run without them?
I think, you know, the first step really depends on what size the business is. So if it's a new business, like I was saying, try to go out and hire intern, or at least one part-time employee. If it's somebody who's a little bit further along, just to try to set aside a few hours to create that first system, you know, at least get that going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you have a very busy day, just close your office door and try to do that, and that will help you run on autopilot.
Awesome. And so what books would you say, as you know, really influenced this way of thinking about, you know, running a business from a systematized standpoint for you? What books have had the biggest influence for you?
I really like the 1 minute manager for a book because it's very efficient. It's quick. It's to the point. You don't like something that somebody's doing. You go up to them, you tell them, be direct, and you're done. You know, and it should be all be done in the period of a minute. So
I like the fact that you recommended it. That's actually on my list of books to read. Yes, I'm going to be checking that out.
It takes a minute to read.
And also, what would you say is the best way for the listener to connect with you and thank you for doing the interview?
Oh, sure. It's really just through our website, and that's onlocationtours.com, and marketing at onlocationtours.com is our main marketing email.
Awesome. And I'm curious, is there a question that you were wishing that I asked you during the interview and for some reason or the other I didn't ask you? I mean, basically a question that you think would even help to shed more substance to this interview. Go ahead and I pose that question and the answer.
I think, I guess the only thing is, and it's not exactly having to do with systems, but one
Go
thing
ahead.
That took me years to learn was hiring the right employees. And, I think a lot of it is trying to find people who have a sense of not only work ethic, but ownership and, people who are, have that ownership where even if they make mistakes, they're able to, I'm trying to think what I'm saying, but like not only own up to it, but if they're trying and they have passion about the business, then that's enough.
You have the chutzpah.
Exactly. That's a very good way to say it.
Yeah. And so, now I'm speaking to you, the listener, now, I want to thank you, first of all, for listening to the interview all the way to this point. And if you found the interview useful, I want you to do us a favor and leave us a positive review on iTunes to do that. I'm talking to the listener now.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Sorry. So, say it again.
You basically to leave an interview, to leave a review on iTunes. To do so, you go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes and you leave a positive review. The reason to do that is the more positive reviews we have there on iTunes, the more listeners that are exposed to our interview, and the more we're encouraged to go out there and reach out to entrepreneurs like Georgette, who can come on here and literally break down their business and give you the behind the scenes to how they've been able to systematize their business and transform their business. And so if you know another entrepreneur who's will find this interview useful, please share the interview with them. And finally, if you're at that point in your business where you're tired of being the bottleneck of your business and you literally want to get everything out of your head so your employees know step-by-step how you get tasks done, well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Georgette, thanks for doing the interview.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful. Thank you.
And we're done.
Yes.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.